This is Tell Me More, the Sunday magazine on 101.1 More FM, WBEB Philadelphia. I'm Emily Scheibert. Good morning. This week, treating the whole you, integrative care and breast cancer with medical oncologist Pallav Mehta, the director of integrative oncology at MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper. Increasingly, science is supporting the fact that a whole person approach to cancer holds the greatest promise for good outcomes and better quality of life once treatment has ended. Your lifestyle has an effect on the most common types of cancer, including breast cancer. Research shows that you're not stuck with your genetic history. Your choices in diet, exercise, and even relationships can help determine whether or not your genes promote cancer. Dr. Pallav Mehta is a medical oncologist and director of integrative oncology at MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper. Dr. Mehta has developed a broad integrative medicine initiative aimed at people with cancer. He will be one of the panelists at Living Beyond Breast Cancer's upcoming discussion and live streaming event, Treating the Whole You, Integrative Care and Breast Cancer, on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Chemical Heritage Foundation, 315 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. More information can be found at lbbc.org/wholeyou. The idea of integrative cancer care is something that's really just starting to be embraced by mainstream medicine. It's something that has been around for a while, but little by little, it's working its way into being accepted and being seen as part of treating the whole person, especially with breast cancer, where it really is a disease that goes to the very heart of a woman.
Yeah, and I think that's a great description, that little by little it is working its way into sort of our conventional medicine. So I am a conventionally trained MD medical oncologist, but you know, I realized early on, and I've been treating breast cancer now for about a dozen years, and I was actually a personal trainer before I was a physician, so I would always try to incorporate these exercise routines into my cancer regimens for patients, and realized fairly early on that the patients needed more than just the chemo, radiation, and surgery that we were providing. So I ended up sort of reading more about this, and you realize as you get into some of the literature that there actually is literature out there, and particularly over the last, I'd say over the last 5 years or so, so relatively new body of literature, but they're really it's creeping its way into our big journals. In oncology and really even outside of oncology and in cardiology and lots of other fields of medicine. And patients are, you know, ultimately this is driven not just by our own intellectual curiosity, but by patients. And patients really want more than just the medical aspects of their care.
Yeah, it seems like something very basic to want to be treated in a whole way, a holistic way.
That's right. And I'm glad you brought up the word holistic, because I think there's a lot of terms out there. And I think it's important to understand the distinctions between these terms. You hear things like complementary and alternative and integrative and holistic. And I think the big distinctions to make, and this is not just coming from me, but really even from the administration, the presidential administration. So about 15 to 20 years ago, there was a branch of the National Institutes of Health that was formed called the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And over the last few years, the word alternative has become a little bit of a taboo, because alternative implies that you're doing something in lieu of standard therapy. And so just about a year and a half ago, the Obama administration not only increased funding for that branch of the NIH, but also changed the name. And so the new name is the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health. And they did that because they recognized the potential dangers of alternative medicine. So when we think about integrative medicine, which is what I do, it really is a combination of what we call the complementary approaches. So those complementary medicine includes all the different, whether it's nutrition or mind-body practices or natural products mindfulness and then, you know, myriad of other things, and conventional medicine, which is obviously I do a lot of.
Tell us more about what you mean when you say integrative or holistic. I mean, these are very health-promoting modalities and styles of living. This is not fringy or hocus-pocus or, you know, something that maybe seems extreme or dubious. These are good, healthy practices for almost anyone, truly.
That's right. And I think that's an important point, that this is not some fringe type treatment. And I think that to some extent that has actually given a little bit of a bad name to the field of integrative medicine, that there are folks out there, practitioners out there who may not have proper training, who may be doing things really outside the bounds of evidence. So what I try to do really has evidence behind it. And I make sure that I'm not employing any practices that might either be ineffective or at worst harmful to patients. So when I think about integrative medicine, so for example, take a breast cancer patient that I see, and depending on at what time point in their treatment course I see them, if I see them before their operation, we talk about ways to sort of bolster their physical status, maybe even improve their immune system, give them some vitamin D. So vitamin D has been shown to improve wound healing, for example. So do a little bit beforehand to make sure they're really prepped and optimized for surgery. And then after surgery, depending on the treatments they may need, depending on what we find, if they need chemotherapy, we talk a lot about strategies to help with chemotherapy during treatment, mindfulness to help diminish the stress the night before chemo, as a lot of patients have. During chemo, ginger has been shown to improve nausea. There's some supplements that patients can take to improve their neuropathy, which is a nerve irritation that happens with many breast cancer chemotherapy regimens. And then really importantly, after it's all done, sort of an opportunity for them to really change their life. And so this is where I often meet with patients separately for a longer visit, really not to talk about their cancer, but more to talk about lifestyle. So we talk about the specifics of nutrition, supplements now that they can take that maybe they couldn't take during their treatment. Talk about exercise. We talk a lot about weight loss. Weight loss and breast cancer really, or weight gain and breast cancer seem to be linked, and losing weight conversely seems to decrease risk. So we may be opening up starting a weight loss, cancer weight loss program, which is sort of almost counterintuitive to some. You know, but all of those things. So we really try to incorporate all of it. And we have a complementary medicine program here as well. So for yoga, Tai Chi, mindfulness, acupuncture, oncology massage, you know, some of the things that have some evidence, some weighty evidence behind it.
And in terms of nutrition, one of the things you really recommend is eating a whole food diet. Describe what that actually means. We hear the term tossed around, and I kind of think I know what it is, but I'd rather hear you tell me.
Yeah. So the discussions on diet tend to be the most detailed, because I think a lot of folks, even the ones who think they're eating healthy, may be missing some things or doing too much of certain things. So the first thing I always mention is a primarily plant-based diet. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they have to become a vegetarian. It just means the majority of their foods come from plant-based sources. So the plant-based sources are sort of what I call the four food groups of a plant-based diet, which are fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and then nuts, seeds, and legumes. Legumes being the beans and sprouts and whatnot. So the majority of intake needs to come from plant-based sources. From a non-plant-based standpoint, red meat is something we do recommend that our patients minimize, no more than about 12 ounces a week. The animal sources should be chicken and fish. So when we say whole foods, we're really talking about the foods in their actual whole parts. So these aren't processed. These aren't coming from boxes and bags with multiple ingredients. The food is the ingredient, and that's how you know it's a whole food.
These are the kind of things that you're going to be discussing at the upcoming event for Living Beyond Breast Cancer, Treating the Whole You, Integrative Care and Breast Cancer. It's taking place Tuesday, November 15th, and it's both a panel discussion and it's also a streaming event for those people who cannot attend in person. But you're going to have the opportunity to take questions, to present, and then to have some women share their real life stories about what this sort of integrative cancer care has meant for them in their breast cancer journey.
That's right. That's right. And I'm excited to talk with a lot of women, particularly those who've had these sorts of experiences and how it's helped them. Because I can tell you, just in my own personal experience with hundreds to thousands of patients now over the years, that patients who really try to proactively follow a good nutrition plan, who take certain supplements, you know, not a bevy of different supplements, but a few supplements, who are physically active, who have a way to manage and cope with stress, these women just do better. They do better with their treatments. They do better after treatments. They're happier. They're just in better overall shape, physical and mental shape, when it all is said and done.
And they're going to describe what worked for them and what helped them not only physically but emotionally. We are, you know, whole beings. We are people. We're not our tumor. We're not our disease. You know, we're people who need more than just the treatment of the thing that's wrong with us, because it is a body, mind, and spirit experience to be sick.
That is absolutely right. The father of medicine, Hippocrates, the man to whose oath we take as physicians, once said that it's better to know what sort of person has a disease than what sort of disease a person has. And I think that really, you know, that quote kind of sums up the whole world of integrative medicine, that it's not about, we don't want to define people by their disease. And if you look at a disease like cancer, you know, 45 years ago, Nixon declared the war on cancer, and we have made some tremendous strides in the world of cancer, even just over the last 10 years with all the newer targeted treatments. But much of that has been focusing on the disease, and we've forgotten about the rest of it, the soil, the, you know, it's the seed soil hypothesis. And only now we're all starting to, including conventional oncology, which is focusing on things like immunotherapy and harnessing the power of the immune system. And you couple that with what a patient can do, and what a patient can do themselves with eating right and exercising and all of that. And I think that's ultimately what leads to the best outcomes.
Well, I think a lot of the conversation around integrative cancer care, breast cancer care, is talking about incorporating lifestyle changes that kind of help your body to either turn on the genes that seem to fight cancer or to turn off the ones that seem to actually encourage cancer to develop. We don't completely understand these entirely at the moment, correct? But this is the
right
direction that we're going, and this is why you're embracing and others are embracing this whole person approach.
Right. So what you're talking about is the world of epigenetics. So to put it simply, epigenetics is how your cells read your genes. So your genes are not your fate. And that's where a lot of the value of integrative care comes in that, you know, we all have certain genes that probably could cause us trouble. There's a lot of folks who actually have genetic diseases, but why don't all those people get the actual disease? They have the genetic defect in their DNA, but not everyone gets the disease. And there are various theories behind this, but one of those theories is what you mentioned, which is really epigenetic changes. So the way we eat, how happy we are, how much we exercise, those sorts of things seem to turn on good genes and turn off some of the more dangerous ones. And there's good evidence now to prove that.
This upcoming panel discussion and stream, Treating the Whole You, Integrative Care and Breast Cancer, that's coming up on the 15th, Living Beyond Breast Cancer is its sponsor. This is a great example of an opportunity to embrace this whole person approach, because there's something about coming together and connecting with others who've had a similar experience, especially when maybe you're struggling a bit and you're able to speak to somebody who's had a really good outcome and who can offer you hope and can just give you that feeling of connection that there has been this similar experience that unites you. And it's a great opportunity for women who've had breast cancer or are undergoing this experience to join together and to have this community.
That's right. And we know that social support in and of itself seems to have some epigenetic changes associated with it. There's a great book called Radical Remission that talks about the nine common elements of over 1,000 people that had a remission from cancer that was unexpected. And one of those things, I mean, there were several interesting key elements, but one of them was social support and seeking out social support. So just the very act of, like you said, coming together with other patients who've been through similar, though not identical, experiences, that really can do wonders for not just their emotional health, but their physical health. And I think along those same lines, sort of the other side of that coin is we do want patients to be careful listening to anecdotal stories about benefit. So a patient may mention that this helped them, or this is not what their doctor said, but you should do this. And I think my answer to that is that every single patient with breast cancer is different. And I think most oncologists who do breast cancer would agree that there's nothing that goes by the textbook. Even breast cancer alone has a myriad of different subtypes and receptors and all these different features that make each and every patient different. So what worked for that same 45-year-old woman across the street may not work at all for you. And so while it's important to make sure that you connect socially and get the benefit from that, you also don't want to feel badly that you didn't get this treatment or that treatment, because it just may not have been right for you.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Pallav Mehta. He is the Director of Integrative Oncology at MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper, and he will be on hand November 15th at the Chemical Heritage Foundation, 315 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia, for Living Beyond Breast Cancer's panel discussion and evening of streaming information about cancer care and whole person treatment. So, Dr. Mehta, thank you so much for taking the time.
Great. Thanks so much.
Dr. Pallav Mehta will be one of three expert panelists at Living Beyond Breast Cancer's upcoming discussion and live stream event, Treating the Whole You, Integrative Care and Breast Cancer, taking place Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Chemical Heritage Foundation, 315 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia. This event is free, and it will also be streamed live for people who are unable to attend in person. For more, go to lbbc.org/wholeyou. Thanks for joining me this morning. You can email the show or browse the archive. Just go to morefmphilly.com and click on Tell Me More. For 101.1 More FM, I'm Emily Scheinberg.